Thank you, Karen. Good morning. We're learning together this morning, and I too follow Karen's words that we are our tefillot, our hearts and minds are in Eretz Yisrael. Today is Esar B'Teves, so it even makes it even stronger our connections to Yerushalayim. The attack was in Yerushalayim, and to our thoughts and prayers are with them as well. The pasuk in Tehillim 55:12, Tezvav, says the following: Asher yachdav nabtik sod. We took counsel together. V'veis Elokim nahalech b'ragesh, and we walked to the base Elokim. We walked to the base Hamikdash b'ragesh, with fervor, with excitement. David HaMelech in Tehillim was saying that in times of the Beis HaMikdash, which he did not experience himself, it will be a time where the Jewish people gather together, seek counsel from one another, and go there b'ragesh, with excitement and fervor. I heard the following interpretation of those words, b'ragesh. It's really an acronym. Beis stands for Barad. The Jewish people, no matter what the weather is going to be like in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, wherever it is, we're going to gather together for Torah. Beis, Barad, even if there's hail, Resh, Ruach. There's plenty of Ruach outside today. Gimel, Geshem, and yesterday, and it's still on the ground this morning, Sheleg. Barad, Ruach, Geshem, and Sheleg. The Jewish people, regardless of what is going on outside, regardless of what's going on with the weather, we come out to learn Torah. It's my privilege today to learn Torah with everyone here. My first time here in Midrash Yom Rishon. And I have to thank Karen and the CJF, Rabbi Glasser, as well, for giving me this opportunity to learn with everybody here today. So again, no, today is also Esar B'Teves. So it's double points for coming today. No food, no coffee. I apologize if I didn't have my coffee yet today. I won't probably. And the weather outside. But let's begin. Today is the Esar B'Teves. Let's learn together. We're learning together on three major sources in the Nevi'im as to what happened on Esar B'Teves. Let's begin. We find ourselves in Melachim Beis Perek Kafei. Melachim Beis Perek Kafei was the last perek in all of Nevi'im Rishonim. This is the way Nevi'im Rishonim ends, and it's not on a high. Vehi b'shnas ha'tshi'is l'malcho b'chodesh ha'asiri b'asor l'chodesh. Tzidkiyahu in the previous perek, in perek of Dala, just became king. The Gemara says Tzidkiyahu is a very righteous king. He made two mistakes, which we'll learn about shortly. On the 10th of the 10th month, on the 10th in that month, which is today, Esar B'Teves, Ban Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel Hu V'Chol Chelo Al Yerushalayim. Nebuchadnezzar, who was experiencing his 17th year as king over Bavel, comes to Yerushalayim, him and his entire army, and encamps around Yerushalayim V'Yichan Aleha V'Yivnu Aleha Dayek Saviv, and they build a Dayek Saviv. What's a Dayek? They build a watchtower. Some of us say it was one big watchtower to look over into Yerushalayim, over the walls. Others say there were numerous watchtowers throughout the walls of Yerushalayim to look into and see what was going on in Yerushalayim. Esar B'Teves, the ninth year of the reign of Tzidkiyahu, the king, there is a matzor, a siege in Jerusalem. Why didn't Nebuchadnezzar go in and just fight a war, attack, breach the walls right away? Why did he lay siege? He was afraid, the Mefarshim point out, he was afraid that there might be, he would lose too many soldiers in a battle. So why fight a battle when you're going to lose soldiers? Wait as many years as possible, have some patience in your war. Wait for famine, wait for hunger, wait for people to die out, perhaps there'll be some infighting within Yerushalayim. Lock them in there, take some time, have some patience, and the process will work itself out on its own. V'tavo ha'ir b'matzor, Pasuk Bet. Ashtei Asrei Shana Lamel Tzidkiyahu. In the 11th year of Tzidkiyahu, they went into the city. They broke down the walls of the city. When was this? Batish Alachodesh, on the 9th of the month. Vayechazak HaRa'av Va'ir. V'lo Haya Lechem La'am Ha'aretz. It was the 9th of the month, not yesterday, not the 9th of Teves. The Navi here does not say what month it was. The Gemara, as well as came before him, Yirmiyahu, points out it was the 4th month. It was Tammuz. On the 9th of Tammuz, the walls were breached. So if you do the math, in the 11th year of Tzidkiyahu, it was 2.5 years that the Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar, surrounded Yerushalayim. The siege lasted for 2.5 years. Literally, if you read Sefer Yirmiyahu, you will read about the tremendous hunger, people dying on the streets. The kinos that we read on Tisha B'Av reflect Yirmiyahu's experiences that he prophesied about during those times. But the 9th of the month, of the 4th month, on Tammuz, they breached the walls. We don't fast on the 9th month. We fast on Yud Zayin, Tammuz. So the Gemara asks, how come there's a breach in the 9th month if we're fasting on Yud Zayin? So the Gemara says that it depends on which Beis HaMikdash we're talking about. The first Beis HaMikdash, the walls were breached on the 9th. The second Beis HaMikdash, the walls were breached on the 17th. Rabbis were nice to us. Chazal was nice to us. And instead of giving us two fasts, within 8 days of each other, they gave us one fast, which commemorates both times. Batibeka ha'ir, pasuk dalid, v'chol anshei ha'milchama ha'layla derech shar b'inachom musayim asher gan ha'melech, v'kasdim al ha'ir, saviv v'ayilach derech ha'arava. So everybody was taken out of the city. They were sent out of Yerushalayim. And the Kasdim were working for the Babylonians and were their soldiers, their mercenaries. Vayirdefu chel Kasdim achar hamelech. See, one thing that Yirmiyahu told Tzidkiyahu, first he told him not to rebel against Nebuchadnezzar. And he said, if you're going to rebel against Nebuchadnezzar, they're going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Tzidkiyahu didn't listen. And then he said that, by the way, if you're not going to listen, give up. If Nebuchadnezzar comes in and his army comes in and attacks you, you as the king, just give up. Don't run away. Don't try to fight back. It's over. Give up. He didn't do that. Tzidkiyahu, apparently there are caves. Rashi points out on these psukim that there are caves going from the palace in Yerushalayim all the way down to Yericho. And Tzidkiyahu took his family, as they were breaching the walls, Tzidkiyahu took his family and left through these underground caves all the way out of Yerushalayim towards Yericho. But we'll see right here, Pasuk Hei, Vayirdefu chel kastim achar hamelach v'yasigu oso ba'arvos Yericho v'chol chelo nafotsa me'alav. They chased him all the way down to Yericho and they got him there. How'd they get him? They didn't know about these walls. They didn't know about these caves. How'd they find him? Hashem made it, Rashi says, that a deer ran towards the caves. And for some reason, Rashi doesn't explain why, for some reason, these soldiers follow this deer, and the deer is running along the top part of the cave. And when Tzidkiyahu and his family got out of the cave, they were right there, you know, and they had no chance, and they took them in shackles and chains and brought them to Nebuchadnezzar. Pasuk Vav. Vayitbisu et ha-melech, vayelu oso ha-melech bavel rivlasa, vayidabru ito mishpat. They brought him to the king, Nebuchadnezzar. They brought him to, where was he? He wasn't in Bavel, and he wasn't in Yerushalayim. He was in Rivla. Rivlasa. He was in Rivla, which some people say that's somewhere in Turkey today. Why wasn't he in Yerushalayim? He was overseeing the war, but very far away. Why so? So says the Radak, he was afraid. Many, many years ago, Sancheiriv did the same thing. Sancheiriv, when Chizkiyahu was the king over Yerushalayim, Sancheiriv laid siege around Yerushalayim. according to Sor Midrashim, either hundreds of thousands or literally millions of people, right, soldiers were waiting to attack Yerushalayim. We know this happened actually on Seder night, that Sanherib's entire army was wiped out. It was such a giant miracle that it even made it into the secular history books. They talk also about this miracle that the entire nation, entire army, was wiped out in one night. I think Josephus quotes it, I believe. So that happened then. So he was afraid, this, even though he was willing to attack Yerushalayim, he was afraid the same thing was going to happen to him. So he said, the army can go there. The army will lay siege. I'm not going to do it. So he waited outside. He waited a few countries away. And they bring Tzidkiyahu and his sons to him in Rivla. What they do? Remember, Yirmiyahu said, just give up. Right? Go with them. Don't run away. He did something tremendously heinous and horrible. He took the children of Tzidkiyahu, his sons, and he murdered them in front of Tzidkiyahu Melech. Ves'ene Tzidkiyahu iver, v'yasreihu b'nechushtim, v'yevi'ehu bavel. He murdered Tzidkiyahu's children in front of him, and then after he finished murdering all of them, he blinded Tzidkiyahu. He put him into shackles and chains, and he led him off to Bavel. Uvechodesh HaChamishi, and then in the fifth month, which is Av, B'shiv Alachodesh, Hishnas Tcha'asrei Shana LaMelech Nebuchadnezzar, the 19th year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, him, Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuzaradan, his executioner, go into Yerushalayim, and we know the rest is history. Vayisrof as Beis Hashem, as Beis HaMelech, and they begin burning the Beis HaMikdash, which began on the 9th of Av and culminates on the 10th of Av. You have all three fast days here, Sar B'Teves, Shiva Sar B'Tammuz, or really the 9th of Tammuz here, and Tisha B'Av, all in this short little 10 Sukkim, which culminates the entire book of Nevi'im Rishonim. Sar B'Teves that we're commemorating today, according to the Navi, is commemorating the Matzor, the siege over Yerushalayim. This is repeated at least two other times in Tanakh. And I want to look at the other two and really analyze them, and we'll come out hopefully with a tremendous idea about what happens on Tisha B'Av, Sar B'Teves every year. Source 2, the Navi Zechariah. The Navi Zechariah, one of the Treyasar, says a really beautiful Nevuah, that if we don't know the words of Nevuah, at least we know this idea, the concept of this Nevuah. Kol Ma'ar Shem Tzvakos. Thus said Hashem, Tzom HaRevi'i, the fast of the fourth, V'Tzom HaChamishi, the fast of the fifth, V'Tzom HaShvi'i, the fast of the seventh, Tzom HaSiri, the fast of the tenth, Yela Beis Yehuda, L'Sason L'Simcha, U'L'Moadim Tovim. These fast days that we commemorate will one day be for Beis Yehuda, for the Jewish people, days of rejoicing, days of Yamim Tovim, Va'emes Vashalom Ahivo, and they will be these days if the Jewish people keep the promise of Emes, of following the truth, and Shalom, of keeping the peace amongst the Jewish people. Navi Zechariah teaches us that these four fasts will one day be Yamim Tovim, will be celebrated in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. The Gemara in Source 3 teaches us what's the fourth, the fifth, the seventh, the tenth. What does that mean? So the Gemara has a debate in Source 3 between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva. Let's learn together. Tanya Amar Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon, Arba Dvarim Haya Rabbi Akiva Doresh, Ve'ein Ani Doresh Kemoso. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon says, darshan a lot, four things, and I didn't follow him. Tzom HaRevi'i. What Tzom HaRevi'i refers to? Tes Tammuz. Shebo Hufka Ir, because that's when the city, the walls were breached of the city of Yerushalayim. Betisha Lachodesh, again quoting the Psukim in our source in Melachim Beis. And then the Gemara goes on to depict that every one of these days, 4, 5, 7, and 10, referred not to a specific date, but rather to a month. And each one of those months, we commemorate a different fast day. The fourth is Shabbat Shabbat Tamas. The fifth is Tisha B'Av. The seventh, which we haven't mentioned yet, is Tzom Gedalia. And the tenth is Asar B'Teves. So Rabbi Shimon disagrees a little bit on all of those about what those days are. Asar B'Teves, he wouldn't fast on Asar B'Teves, he would have fasted on the fifth. The question that we'll have to deal with is why does the Navi give us any specific dates? Why tell us the fast of the 10th, of the 7th? Why not tell us it's on Yud Zayin Tammuz? Why make it so hard for us, right? That we have to then go to other psukim somewhere else and figure it out. Just tell us the exact day for the fast. It'd be much easier for everybody. Let's go on to source 4, Yechezkel. Yechezkel HaNavi teaches us, again, and we'll have to ask, why does he need to teach us again about Asar B'Teves? Vayhi Dvar Hashem Elai B'Shana Atshiyas. And the Nevuah came to me in the ninth year. We began by saying that Asar B'Teves began, the siege began in the ninth year of Tzidkiyahu's reign. So the ninth year of Tzidkiyahu's reign, Bechodesh HaAsiri, it was the 10th month, Be'asor LaChodesh Leimor, in the 10th day of the 10th month. Cheskel says, Ben Adam, Ksov Lecha Shem Hayom, Et Etzem Hayom Hazeh. Hashem came to me and said, Ben Adam, Cheskel was called Ben Adam, Son of Man. Why was he called Son of Man? Many of the Mefarshim point out that Yechezkel HaNavi reached such heights in his Nevuah. If you think about it, the Maaseh Merkava, really secrets of the world, that the Gemara goes so far to say that maybe we shouldn't read these Nevuos in public, he reached these heights. And he even was a Navi outside of Eretz Yisrael. See, once we received the Torah and the Jewish people entered the land of Israel, we didn't have Nevuah outside the land of Israel, except for Yechezkel. He reached such heights of Nevuah that you may have thought that he is a Malach. You may have convinced yourself that he wasn't a person. So Hashem calls him, his nickname is Ben Adam, Son of Man, to remind all of us of how much we could achieve in this world. That if Yechezkel could do it, maybe all of us ourselves, on our own levels, can achieve such heights as well. So Ben Adam, Ksov Lecha Shem Hayom Etz Etzem Hayom Hazeh. He tells Yechezkel, write down this day. Write down the 10th of Teves. What happened on this day? Samach Melach Bavel El Yerushalayim Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. On the very essence of this day, the king of Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar, was Samach, which I'm going to loosely translate now as laid siege over Yerushalayim. The correct word for laying siege is Matzor, Meitzar. It's a strange word that Yechezkel, Samach, means to lean on or to be next to or to help up from the language of Somech Noflin. Why does Yechezkel use that language over here? And why does Hashem give him this Nevuah? So the language of Samach we'll get to later. But right now, why did Yechezkel get this Nevuah? The Radak says something really fascinating in Source 5. He says that just like in the times of Yirmiyahu, just put yourselves in those times. You had the Nevi'im telling the Jewish people, if you do X, Y, and Z, if you shape up, you're nicer to your brothers and sisters, to your fellow Jews. If you keep more mitzvos, if you learn more Torah, things might not be the same. So you had Nevi'ams. Yirmiyahu, saying that to the people, the Jewish people at that time. But at the same time, you had Nevi'e Sheker. You had other people, other Nevi'im, false prophets, saying, no, we're fine the way we are. The Beis HaMikdash, it's not going to fall. God wanted to take you out of the land for a certain amount of time, and soon enough, He's going to bring us back. Don't do anything. Just sit back and relax. Follow suit, and things are going to change. And I often think to myself, if I was in that time, who would I listen to, right? It's more convenient to listen to Nevi'e Sheker. And after all, what's the proof that the Navi MS is giving me? What are they telling me? What are they showing me? Yirmiyahu, during the siege, in fact, was thrown into a pit. He was thrown into jail. Tzidkiyahu had to take him out of jail and bring him into the palace because the people hated him, despised him so much. So Hashem throws Yechezkel a lifeline. He tells him, write down this day. Write down Asar B'Teves, because right now you are Navi in Chutz Laaretz, right? We don't know when the siege happened, and in fact the people in Chutz Laaretz don't know whether the siege happened yet or not. They don't know whether it occurred. So you're going to write down this day and tell people, right now, as I am talking, there is a siege in Jerusalem. The people are going to say, okay, very nice. But in many, many months from now, Magidim, right? The people that bear the news. Today we can get the news in literally less than a moment. But then in a few months from now, the Magidim are going to come to tell us the news about what's going on in Eretz Israel. And they're going to tell us that a siege started on the 10th of Teves. And then maybe, the Radak says, people are going to start listening to Yechezkel. If Yechezkel was right about that, and he's willing to go out on a limb and say, hey, this happened right now, many, many many miles away, then perhaps Yechezkel is right about other things as well. And they won't listen to the Navi Sheker, and they'll listen to him. So we see so far from, yes. He was through during this time and then afterwards as well. He was taken out of Eretz Yisrael to Babel. What's very fascinating about the Nevi'im in general is that they overlap with each other. So you could be learning Malachim, and then Yeshayahu comes in, but then and some of the Nevuot that Yeshayahu gives is about certain kings. So the right way to learn Navi, which I've never done, but the real right way to learn Navi is to learn it, you know, everything together. It's very hard to figure that out. And that's what the Mefarshim try to figure out for us, is when did this occur? This happened in between chapters 20 and 21. What? Yes, yeah. Right, it's explicit in the Psukim. Explicit, right? So we see here from the Psukim Malachim, Zechariah, and from Yechezkel, that what happened at Asar B'Teves was the siege of Yerushalayim. Each one adds to us different details. We learn the main part of the story, the details from Malachim. Zechariah reminds us that this one day Bezrat Hashem will become a day that is celebrated in Jewish history. And Yechezkel hints to us the background of what was going on outside of Israel at the same time. Yes, in Yerushalayim. The Beis Yosef, Pervishiv Karo, in Source 6, says something very striking halachically that we need to really analyze now, getting onto the second part of our shir. He quotes the Avudraham. The Avudraham is one of our Rishonim who has a sitter. And there's a parish, a commentary on the sitter. And in there, he says something fascinating about Asar B'Teves. And I quote, HaRav David Avudraham Kasa Behilchos Ta'anis. Rav Avudraham wrote in his book on the Ta'anis, Sha'asar B'Teves Hu Mishuna Mishar Ta'anios. Asar B'Teves is fundamentally different than every other fast. She'im hayachal b'Shabbos, lo hayu yicholim litchoso liyom acher. that if Asar B'Teves fell out on Shabbos, you wouldn't push it off. This year, Tainus Esther is going to fall out on a Shabbos. What do we do with Tainus Esther? We bring it closer. Right? So we're going to fast on Thursday and then celebrate Purim on Motzei Shabbos. The past several years, I think it's happened a few times already, Tisha B'Av, Shavas Abra Tammuz, if they fall out on Shabbos, you push it off a day. Says the Avudraham, that if Asar B'Teves, it doesn't fall out on Shabbos, by the way, we've worked out the calendars that it doesn't fall out on Shabbos, but if it would fall out on Shabbos, we would fast on Shabbos. It happens to be the only fast day that we do fast on Friday. Right? No other fast day occurs on a Friday. That happens once every 6-7 years. But this is unheard of. Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos. That's D'oraisa. That's from the Torah. That's explicit that we can have Yom Kippur on Shabbos. But when it comes to Asar B'Teves, which is a fast, which is rabbinic in nature, the Avudraham says that we could even fast on Shabbos. And we have to analyze why. Why would this be that we would fast on Shabbos? So I'd like to share with you three approaches. One halachic answer, one more philosophical hashkafic answer, and one that's going to combine the two together. The first answer comes from the Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch in source 7 writes the following. Vanir linias daiti, v'nafka mina lididan, gamki didalit somos halalu, midivrei kabbalah. The four fast days that we have today, these fast days that commemorate the Beis HaMikdash, are all divrei kabbalah. Divrei kabbalah doesn't mean kabbalah as we know it, like in common jargon. What it means is, divrei kabbalah, it comes from the Navi. For example, the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos, or Kavod Shabbos, also comes from Yeshayahu. Those mitzvos are called Divrei Kabbalah. They come, Nevi'im receive from God. They're called Divrei Kabbalah. So these fast days are called Divrei Kabbalah. They're in a higher level of a Dirabbanan than a typical Dirabbanan like Muksa, for example. So he writes, Ein nikba lahem yom miyuchad Yud Teves or Tes Be'av Ukadelma. They have no set date in their commemoration. Rak HaDivrei Kabbalahu Al Elu HaChadashim Divetaves V'Tamuz V'Av V'Tishrei Mechuyavim Lis'anos B'Ham Yom Echad. He says there's no obligation to fast on a specific day to commemorate that fast. You just have to fast in that month. Avaloni siyache yom yuchad rak eze yom shirotze yuchol isanos. You could fast on any day in that month to commemorate that fast, theoretically. Rak be'elu hakadashim. Only in those months. And how does he know that? How does he know it's not a commemoration about a day, but about the month? What? Zechariah, right? Soma Ravi'i, Soma Chamishi, Soma Shvi'i, Soma Asiri. The Navi in Zechariah says explicitly, he doesn't say what day you should commemorate the fast, but it's about a month. And that's why, when it comes to those fasts, we are flexible. Those days are malleable. We don't say, it's rigid. Because you may argue, if Shavuot or Thomas falls on a Shabbos, maybe you shouldn't fast at all. What? Like, why push it back? Why push it forward? Push it back a day? Just not fast at all. But according to the Minchas Chinuch, it comes from Zechariah. Zechariah teaches us that it's not about a specific day. It's about the commemorating it in a specific month. So according to the Minchas Chinuch, though, we're up a creek, because the Minchas Chinuch says Asar B'Teves is the same as every other one, right? And it's not about a specific date. but it's about the month. However, the Avud Raham himself answers this question by saying, this one is different. Why is this one, why is the Sar B'Tevis different? Because what does Yecheskel say about the day? He calls it Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. You have to fast in the very essence of the day. So the Avud Raham says, we have that language by another fast in the Torah, by Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, it also says Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. So he makes a hekesh, one to the next, compares the words in the Navi to the words in the Torah, and says, just like Yom Kippur, you're going to fast on Shabbos, so too Asar B'Tevis, even though it's called Tzom HaAsiri, the 10th month, this one, Yecheskel, is teaching us, you must fast on that specific day. So our first answer is like the Minchas Chinuch, but not like the Minchas Chinuch. He teaches us conceptually that all these fast days that commemorate the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and that build-up are about the month. What about Asar B'Tevis? So Minchas Chinuch says it's the same as every other one. The Avud Raham himself says, Yecheskel is teaching us that that day is miyuchad. That day is unique, it's different in nature, because it says, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, you must fast in the very essence of this day. And that perhaps makes sense why we even fast on Friday. Right? The rabbis jump through hoops that we shouldn't Yom Kippur shouldn't be on Friday. Lo Adu Rosh. Rosh Hashanah can't fall out on a Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday for that reason. One of those reasons is because Yom Kippur shouldn't fall out on a Friday. But Tisha B'Av, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, we even fast on a Friday. So that's answer number one. Just important to know, the Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, writes, I have no clue where this came from. We're trying to defend it today, but Rav Yosef Karo writes, I have no idea where the Avud Raham got this idea. There's no Medrash Halacha, no Gemara that says this, but we're going to see that this maybe highlights the essence of the day itself. That's answer number one, the Minchas Chinuch. Answer number two comes from a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah teaches us that just like Lo Aleinu, you have marriages that dissolve, that sometimes lead in divorce. Those marriages don't end, you know, based with one thing. It's not one action usually that causes that marriage. It's usually years or months of issues that lead up to eventually husband and wife separating. So the Gemara says the same thing was true about Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. Eser Masaos Nasha Shechina. The Gemara says the divine presence, Hashem's presence, left the Beis HaMikdash in 10 stages. It didn't just leave immediately like that. It left in 10 separate stages. Mikapores Lakruv. It was on the top of the Aron in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It left there and went to one of the Kruvim. Mikruv Lakruv went to the different Kruv. Mikruv Lamiftan then went to the right outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Mimiftan Lachatzer then went to the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Mechatzer Lamizbeach then to the Mizbeach. Probably the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Mizbeach Lagag then to the roof. From the roof to the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. Mechom Ala'ir, then to the city of Yerushalayim. Meir Lahar, then from the city to the mountain. Mehar Lamidbar, and then was in the Midbar. 10 stages, Nasa Shechina. Hashem didn't leave us like that. He always was waiting that perhaps we would come back. We would do something. We would change as a people, and Hashem would come back to us. The Gemara says, on the last line over here, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shisha Chadashim Nis'akva Shechina LiYisrael B'Midbar. The Shechina was in the desert for 6 months, lest we come back. Hashem waited there for 6 months. Says the Maharsha. The Maharsha is one of our great commentaries who's in the back of nearly every single Gemara. The way his name is written, his name was Rav Shlomo Idols. Aleph Yud Yud Dalad Lamed Shin. But the truth is, that wasn't really his last name. That was the last name of his mother-in-law. And he took his mother-in-law's last name because she supported him in Torah. And to thank her for all of those years and the life that she gave him, he took her last name in his Sfarim to memorialize her name forever. So the Maharsha writes in source number 9, Shisha Chadashim Nitakva, the Shekhinah stayed in the Midbar for 6 months. What 6 months are we referring to over here? Hani Vav Chadashim, these 6 months, Eino Mefurash B'Shemakom, they're not explained in any place. But what are they? What do I think they are? They're the days of the beginning of the siege until the breaching of the walls. It's 6 months from Asar B'Teves until the 9th of Tammuz. The truth is, the question they have in the Marsha is that how long did the siege really take? 2 years and 6 months. So he may just be saying that this is might be 2 years and 6 months, but calendarically it's 6 months from one fast to the next. And that Hashem is teaching us, the Gemara is teaching us, that the Shekhinah waited for 6 months over there. What do you see from here? What was so bad about Asar B'Teves to the extent that we may even fast on Shabbos? It could be based on this Gemara that this is the beginning of the end. There's always an opportunity at the beginning that maybe something will change. Once we laid siege, Hashem was outside in the Midbar. We ignored him for 6 months, 2 years and 6 months. That's horrible. At the end, it's already over. Right? We have already on Tisha B'Av, half the day is a moed. It's a holiday unto itself even today. Asar B'Teves is kulo fast. It's completely a sad day. The Gemara says, Meseches Tanis, the Gemara says that really the base of Mikdash was mainly burnt on the 10th of Av, and it only began on the 9th. So the Gemara wants to know, why do we fast on the 9th and not on the 10th? And in fact, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi said if he was making the day, he would have fasted on the 10th. So the Gemara says, Aschalta de Poranusa Adifa. The beginning of the bad tidings is worse. Sometimes getting the news that somebody has a horrible sickness that day is worse than what's expected to come out afterwards. And it could be that's why the Avud Raham suggests that we would even fast on a Shabbos. Aschalta de Pranusa Adifa, it's such a horrible day. It was literally the beginning of the end for the Jewish people, and that's why we would fast even on Shabbos. So we have the Mincha Shechinah who says, it's Betzem Hayom Hazeh, you got to fast on the 10th of Teves on Shabbos, because that's what Yecheskel teaches us. Or perhaps a more Hashkafic approach is that it relates to Yecheskel Etzem Yom Hazeh. I'd like to suggest a third approach. We have to take a step back. And we have to look at, what's the big deal with fasting on Shabbos? Why is it such a problem? The Shulchan Aruch teaches us in Source 10, it's a halacha lemaisa for some shuls. What happens if you're going to come home from shul on Shabbos morning after Chatzos? The Shulchan Aruch writes, you have to be careful to eat something, maybe to have a cup of water. You shouldn't eat before davening, but to have a cup of water, maybe a cup of coffee. I'm trying not to talk too much about food today. but to have that before davening. Why? Usher lis'anos b'Shabbos ad vav shos. You can't fast 6 hours into the day of Shabbos. Why? It's like a partial fast day. And it's so strict that we can't fast on Shabbos, you should even be careful about this. The Be'er Halacha writes in Source 11, the Be'er Halacha was the Mishnah Berurah the Chafetz Chaim. He wrote several commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch. He writes, this or Tainis B'Shabbos Yesh Deos B'Poskim Imu Rak Divrei Kabbalah Ohu D'Araisa. It's a machlokas whether fasting on Shabbos is an Isser D'Rabbanon or an Isser D'Araisa. Either you're violating the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos, the Karasla Shabbos Oneg from Yeshayahu, mitzvah Divrei Kabbalah, like we mentioned before, or you're in violation of the Pasuk B'Shalach, which teaches us that they had to eat the man, right, on Shabbos. Ichlu Hayom. And that's a concept from the Torah. So it's a machlokes Rishonim, whether fasting on Shabbos, Deraisa or Derabanan, but we see nonetheless, it's not a good thing to do. However, there's one construct, one time where Halacha permits us to fast on Shabbos. Not Yom Kippur, but an occurrence that may happen throughout our lives that we're allowed to fast on Shabbos. Said the Shulchan Aruch in source number 13, Mutter lis'anos bo tanis chalom. If one had a really bad dream, we'll talk in a moment about halacha practically today. If one had a very bad dream, they woke up the next morning and they can't stop thinking about it. A tzara, something happened and they can't shake it. So it used to be, back in the day, people would fast to wipe away whatever gzar din was on them. Wipe away a bad decree. So it says the Shulchan Aruch that if this dream happened on Friday night, you wake up Shabbos morning, Mutar Lis'anos, you could fast on Shabbos. In order to make up for fasting on Shabbos, the Gemara says you also fast on Sunday. So, not Motei Shabbos Sunday, but Sunday day. If you can't fast on Sunday, the Shulchan Aruch writes fast on Monday, or fast on Monday, because you mevatel, you nullify the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. Today, Shulchan Aruch writes in Source 13 that we really don't fast. Some people fast if they have it happened 3 times in a row. Today we do Atavas Chalom. Rav Avdi Yosef in the Tshuva writes that really today it doesn't really happen. But there was this time in history. The Mishnah Berurah just writes, just interesting. He writes that maybe it was something you ate on Friday night. You ate something bad at night, and that's what caused you to have this bad dream. Don't think anything of it. We have this idea called a Tavas Chalom. It's in the back of any sitter where you say some sukkim, you tell three people your dream, and then it's nullified. But we have this construct called the Hatavas Chalom or a Tainis Chalom that you could fast even on Shabbos if you have this bad dream. Says the Or Sameach. So back to our question was, right? Why would the Avud Raham say that you could even fast on if I saw a table fall on Shabbos, you should fast. So why is that? Says the Or Sameach in source number 15. Or Sameach is the Meshech Chachma or Meir Simcha of Dvinsk. I saw this several years ago, and I really couldn't get my head around it. I couldn't understand where he was coming from. But he writes the following, and I think I have interpretation today, and I'll share it with you. Vihine lefi mashakasav ha-mabit. The Mabit writes in his Sefer, Kiryat Sefer, the Bishabbos, on Shabbos, it's usur from the Torah to fast for 24 hours. But to fast just the day of Shabbos, right, not 24 hours, but just the day of Shabbos, is rabbinic. You'd be violating a rabbinic decree. Therefore, it's permitted to fast on Shabbos for a tainis chalom. It's permitted to fast for a bad dream on Shabbos because you're not fasting on Friday night. You already ate on Friday night. You're only fasting Shabbos day. That sounds like an answer to get out of the problem, right? You're getting out of the problem. So the problem was how you have to eat on Shabbos. So, okay, fine. You ate Friday night. You really didn't go a whole Shabbos without eating, and therefore you could fast Shabbos day. And then he writes, this is the reason for the Avud Raham. V'nir l'zeh tam shehevi ha-Beis Yosef b'shem Avud Raham. And this is the reason why the Beis Yosef quotes the Avud Raham. That if Asar B'Tavis fell out on Shabbos, you would also fast. Why? Because you're not really fasting a whole Shabbos. You're not fasting 24 or 25 hours. I see you're rolling your eyes a little, right? So, but you're only fasting the Shabbos day. The Shabbos day. Okay, is that... So it doesn't sound like such a great answer. And why would you compare... What? Shabbos Tavis, you don't fast either, right? Maybe you should do it too. Tisha B'Av is 24 hours, so no. Maybe Shabbos Tavis you should, according to this answer. So where does this come from? And why would you? Where would you get off comparing it to us to a tainis chalom? It doesn't. It's apples and oranges. So I saw a beautiful chasam sofer. Unfortunately, I could not find it inside the chasam sofer. It's in his sefer called Toras Moshe, which is his drashos. It's in Devarim, in Sefer Devarim. It's in here. It's source 16 in the Be'er Achayim. The Be'er Achayim is a contemporary rav in Eretz Yisrael. His name is Rav Avram Elimelech Biederman. Torah I'm very fond of. He combines both Hasidish and Litvish Torah together. It's really beautiful. And he says the following. Why do we fast? These are my own words. Why do we fast in Tisha B'Av? Because we're commemorating something that happened many, many years ago. Shavuot Tamuz, the walls were breached twice in our history, many, many years ago. Why do we fast? So it's something about the past. Why do you fast for a tainis chalom? You have a bad dream, you fast. Why do you fast? You're fasting because you're afraid of the future. Something might happen in the future, and you're trying to rip up that decree that may not end up happening. So says the Chasam Sofer, Asar B'Teves is like a tainis chalom. Why is that? It was the beginning. So let's read the first paragraph, source 16. Mevarech Chasam Sofer, Ki ba'oso hayom shebo heitzar melech Bavel, that day that the king of Bavel laid a siege around Yerushalayim, so Yerushalayim shalmata, the Yerushalayim below, ba'oso hayom, on this day, there was a major court date in Shemayim, the based on Shemala, Ladun bechorban hamikdash vegalos Yisrael halalu maiminim vaholu masbilim, and there are people on both sides. In Beis Shamala, there was a court date that went out. Should we destroy the Beis Hamikdash? Should this lead to the destruction or not? Va'achay nigmar din Beis Hamikdash lechil yonu l'sreifa. And it came out. The judgment came out that the Beis Hamikdash will be destroyed on Tisha B'Av. V'zeh chumras yom zeh. And that's why this day is so strict. He writes, that happened many, many years ago, but each and every year that we go through Asar B'Teves, the same thing happens. On Asar B'Teves, the Jewish people are judged whether they will be another Tisha B'Av. Where will we be in the summer months? Maybe we'll be back here, or we'll be in Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh celebrating. The Chasam Sofer writes, it's just like a tainis chalom. A tainis chalom, you fast on a bad dream because you're afraid for the future. Asar B'Teves, on one hand, you're commemorating the past, but what happened in the past was a fast for the future. What's going to be in 6 months from now? And that's why, following that construct of the Tainis Chalom, you'd be permitted, if the fast would fall out on Shabbos, the Sarah B'Tavis would fall out on Shabbos, we would be permitted to fast. And he quotes the famous Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi writes, Kodor Shlo Nivne Beis HaMikdash B'Yamav Kilu Nechra B'Yamav. Every generation that the Beis HaMikdash was not built in, it was like it was destroyed in. For the same idea. Because if every single year we're going through Asarah B'Tavis after Asarah B'Tavis, and it's still the same, then it means that we, the Jewish people, are not worthy of its rebuilding. To conclude this section, and I'll just add one other point, why would it be that Asarah B'Tavis, we'd fast on Asarah B'Tavis? So first we had the Minchas Chinuch / the Avudraham himself that said, based on Navi Yecheskel, the Etzam Yom Hazeh tells us you fast on the very essence of this day, as opposed to the other fast days which go based on the month, and therefore the day itself is flexible. Aschalta Tepernusa Adifa the Marsha, as well as Rinus and Eipschitz teach us, the day is so strict because there's a beginning of the end. And now we have the Chasim Sofer, or Sameach, say it's really based on the idea of a Tainis Chalom, that we're fasting not on the past per se, but on what's going to be in the future. Will there be another Tisha B'Av this year? Lubavitcher Rebbe, in the last source, says something really beautiful. He writes and he addresses the following question. He says, why was it a siege? Of all things that Hashem made it, that would be the beginning of the end, why a siege of all things? And he writes, why was the language in the Navi, in Yecheskel, Samach Melech Bavel? Samech Mem Chaf. Why not Meitzar Melech Bavel? Why the language of Samach? So he says the following, and I'll explain it based on an example. Sometimes it happens, somebody's going up to their office, you know, they're going to Midtown Manhattan, and they got to go and cram into an elevator to get up to their office on the 19th floor. And it could happen, they get into the elevator, and all of a sudden the elevator gets jammed. And they're stuck on the elevator all together, you know, for many, many hours. So you're stuck on an elevator with six strangers. What do you do to pass time? So there are two options, right? Either you start getting annoyed about the way that person, the intonations of that person's voice, and about how this person can't stop crying, and that person's nervous, and that person's making bad jokes, and you all get in this, you know, cacophony, and you'll get angry at each other. That's one way. Or somehow, through this adversity, you could become closer. Right? It's been proven in all of our lives, that sometimes through a situation of a challenge or adversity, you become closer to somebody, even though you've only met them for a few hours or for a few days. Those challenging times cause us sometimes to become closer to people that were strangers just a few days before. Says the Lubavitcher Rebbe in Source 17, that's why Hashem made a siege. God made a siege around Jerusalem, nobody in, nobody out. Just like that elevator shaft. What were we going to do with that time? Would we utilize that time to become closer together, more united? Or would we use that time to throw Yirmiyahu into a pit? Samach Melech Bavel, he says, comes from the language of Somech Noflim. Somech means to help out. That Hashem, the Rebbe explains, was trying to help out the Jewish people, giving them one last vestige of hope. 6 months he was in the Midbar, the Divine Presence in the Midbar, waiting. Maybe they would come back. He was waiting, perhaps, if we would band together. The Navi says, Va'emes v'shalom ahivo, that if we follow the dictums of emes and shalom, not shalom of the way to define shalom in Washington, but really truly caring for one another, Jews, caring for each other, to go out, utilize this day of Asarah B'Tavis, or maybe this week of Asarah B'Tavis, to think about somebody, call somebody up that you know is going through a hard time, reach out to somebody, do something, do an extra chesed for somebody else. Perhaps in that schus will be zocha, Bezrat Hashem, to be celebrating Tisha B'Av, which will be judged today, according to the Chasam Sofer, Bezrat Hashem, Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, Bemheir V'Yemeinu. Amen.